Baruchim Abayim, everybody. Welcome to our Monday night Parsha class. Today is Tes Teves Tovshin Pei Beis, corresponding with December 13th, 2021. Tomorrow will be Asara B'Teves, the fast day of Teves. It's really a combination of two other fast days, the fast of Ches Teves and the fast of Tes Teves. There are actually three terrible things that happened one after the other on the Jewish calendar. But our Chachamim have decided that it's too difficult to demand of Klal Yisrael to fast for 3 days, one after the other. So they chose the one that's the worst of them all, which is the one that deals with the city of Yerushalayim being surrounded by its enemies, which was actually the beginning of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, even though there is reason to fast on Ches Teves, the day that the Torah was first translated into Greek, called Targum Shivim, on Tes Teves, Ezra in the Nehemiah passed away. There was the lights of Klal Yisrael that were dimmed in Golus. It was a terrible tragedy for them to have left them, and Klal Yisrael had no leadership to guide them through Golus. But naturally, the one of Asara B'Teves, the one which actually resulted in our Golus till today, was naturally the worst. I'd like to dedicate tonight's shiur L'Zeich Nishmas, my father, Natatzvi Ben Ben B'Tzion Moshe, Olav HaShalom, and my mother, Shana Vita Bas Rabbi Yisrael HaLevi, and Refuah Shalema to Reina Bas Leah. This week's parasha, Parshas Vayechi, is also a parasha that deals with sadness. It's a parasha that is closed in the form of a parasha having no separation from the previous parasha with a space in between, because it was a sign of the sadness, the closing of the eyes of the Jewish people as Yaakov Avinu passes away, and the Golus and the terrible Golus of Mitzrayim just begins. So it falls in so well in the subject matter of sadness when we are talking about fasting on Asara B'Teves. Parshas Vayechi is so full of so many interesting things. It talks about Birchas Yaakov, Yaakov blessing the Bnei Yisrael. We are familiar with also the bracha, Yaakov blessed Ephraim and Manasseh. Yisimcha Lekim Ke Ephraim Bukha Manasseh. Remember that bracha, the bracha of Amalach HaGoel Eisi Mikolva, Yivarach Es Na'orim, Vikori Vahem Shemi, Vashem of Isai, Avram Vyitzchak, Yidu Goloroi, Bekedev Ha'odetz. It's a parsha that talks about the future of the Jewish people just about ready to be revealed, where Hashem doesn't allow Yaakov Avinu to tell the Bnei Yisrael when the end will finally be. It finally ends off with Yosef passing away, and we conclude the parasha with Chazak, Chazak, Finis Chazek. I would like to dwell on one or two pesukim that bring out an extremely important concept where I think we would benefit tremendously from by dwelling on the pasuk. It talks about the beginning of Yaakov Avinu blessing the Shvatim, beginning with Reuven. I would like to repeat over from the Lev Eliyahu, Rav Eliyahu Lapian, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, in his wonderful, wonderful Divrei Torah on the Parsha. And he expands on the first, on that pasuk of Reuven Bechori. He talks about how Yaakov Avinu started off his blessing by lacing right into Reuven and telling Reuven what he could have gotten and how he has lost it. The pasuk says, Reuven Bechori, Reuven, my eldest one, Ata kochi veracious oni, you are my strength. You're my firstborn. You're my first strength. Yesa se'es v'yesa oz. You have been blessed with the potential of having been greater than your brothers by having been blessed with the ability of becoming a kohen and a melech, kahuna, kingship, and melucha. Excuse me, kahuna is priesthood, and melucha is kingship. Were all in your domain. You could have become the kohen gadol. You could have become a melech, but you lost it all. What happened? He continues on, Pachas Kamayim Al Toysar, because your anger flowed like water, and therefore you have lost all of these extras that you were entitled to receive. What did you do wrong? Ki Olisa Mishkeve Avicha, because you went upon the bed of your father, Os Chilalta Yitzue Allah, then you have desecrated the bed that I have gone upon. What happened over here? What was the Aveira of Reuven that later on he fasted many, many fasts? And the Torah is testifying here that Reuven could have become the head of the Kohanim and could have become the head of the kingship. It later was given over to Aaron HaKohen, Shevet Levi, and it was later the kingship was given to Yehuda. So what happened was over here that when Rachel passed away, Yaakov Avinu moved his bed into the tent of Bilhah, the maidservant of Rachel. He was very, very hurt by the fact that he lost his wife, who he loved so much. So he put his bed in the tent of the maidservant of his wife, so to at least to retain some of that closeness that he had so much loved and cherished while Rachel was alive. Reuven finds out that Yaakov did not put his bed in his mother's tent, in Leah's tent, became incensed, very disturbed, and he, without mentioning and without getting advice from his father if he should or not, takes his father's bed and puts it into the tent of Leah. When Yaakov finds out about this, he was very, very upset. How dare you do something without my permission? How dare you do something because you get so angry? Because of that action, this action caused him to lose the kahuna and caused him to lose the melucha. So Eliyahu Lapidon Zatzal explains over here, the Torah doesn't describe right away why Yaakov was upset with what he did. He should have said, you know, you lost the kahuna, you know why? Because you tampered with my bed. Alisa Mishkeve Avicha, you went up on the bed of your father. Oschilalta Yitzue Allah, you desecrated my bed. But the Torah says something else. Yaakov said something before that. A very important statement. He said, "Is the pachas kamayim al taisa? It's because your anger flowed like water. It's not just the deed you did. The deed was terrible. But the thing that caused you to do that deed, that was the worst of it all. You have in it your midah, the midah of pachas kamayim, the midah of kas that flows like water. And if this is what your midah is, where it flows like water, the kas flows like water, then it disqualifies you for priesthood. It disqualifies you for kingship. A kohen has to know that he is the leader of the Jewish people. Every word that he says is very, very sacred. The advice that he gives is paramount. With his mouth, he makes things tahar, pure, or he is capable of making things tamei. The given word coming out of a mouth of a kohen gadol creates and destroys worlds. And how careful the kohen gadol has to be. We know from the story of Aaron HaKohen how careful he was with his speech, that when he unfortunately suffered a tragedy where Nadav and Avihu died on the inauguration of the Mishkan, what was Aaron's reaction? Vayidim Aaron. He was silent. Aaron had complete control over himself. There was the opposite of Pachas Kamayim. He wasn't moved with anger, perhaps rightful anger, where his two children died in front of him at the pinnacle of Simcha when the Mishkan was being inaugurated. He showed enormous self-control. Reuven, you can't be a kohen where every word is so special and so significant. You lost that opportunity. Reuven, you also lost kingship. You can't be a king. In order to be able to be a king over others, you have to be a king over yourself. If you lost your control just because you are angry at the fact that your mother wasn't given the appropriate kavod, and you didn't discuss it with your Abba, with your father, disqualifies you from becoming a king, where the nation of Klal Yisrael depends on the decision of a king, whether the king has to go to war or prevent the nation from attending a war. Where a king sometimes has to command execution on certain people, but it's always reminded by walking around with a Sefer Torah that his power is so, so crucial and so, so great that by holding a Sefer Torah, he's reminded that he is so, so important to the Jewish people that everything he says and everything he does has to be done with care. Reuven, you can't be a king. You can't, because pachas kamayim, your anger flowed like water. And as a result, that's what you've lost. So we see, explains, of Yoel Lapian Zatzal, that it was not the deed itself that made Reuven lose those two attributes, priesthood and kingship. No, it was the thing that motivated you to do that act. It's not the act of moving the bed. It was the anger that flowed like water that disqualified you from those two attributes. We understand that a similar situation happened with Shimon and Levi. The Torah tells us, Shimon v'Levi achim. Shimon and Levi are brothers. Klei chamas mecheiroseihem. Stolen tools are their weapons. What do they do? V'sodam al tovu nafshi b'kohalam al teichat kevodi. Ki ba'apem hargu ish uvirtzonam ikru shor. Because of their anger, they also had anger and also didn't control their feelings. We know the story of Shimon and Levi destroyed the entire city of Shechem. This is not what Yaakov Avinu advised them at all to do. But because they thought they were doing the right thing, and they didn't ask their father for permission, shall we do this or shall we not? They didn't act in accordance to their abilities and their potentials. But they used their anger in a negative way. And they went and they used their weapons. The Torah called it is stolen tools. What does it mean, stolen? They stole the tool. This is Esau's tools. Esau lives by his sword. You don't live by your sword. This is not how you're supposed to live. You took this midah from Esau. This is not how you're supposed to live. And as a result, Yaakov said, I don't want my soul to be mentioned in among the congregation. I'll take a kevodi. It says, what is it referring to? We're just referring to the story of Korach. Korach with his whole congregation. There, he created such a terrible rebellion. Yaakov says, please, don't mention my name. I don't want to be mentioned among what that terrible, terrible thing that happened. that created such a fracture in the foundation of Klal Yisrael, when you mentioned Korach ben Yitzhar, right? When you mention the lineage, right? Ben Kahas, ben Levi, don't mention ben Yaakov. It was a shame. That midah went right into Korach. And don't mention me in the other calamity that took place in the time of Zimri ben Salu for Kozri Bastur, where Shevet Shimon were involved with that terrible act of immorality. It took Pinchas' courage to stop a terrible plague that already raged and killed 24,000 Jews. Yes, this all comes from the uncontrollable midah of a person that filtered down many generations later. So the Torah wants us to know, I should say Yaakov Avinu wants us to know, that we have to be very, very careful. It's not just the deed. It's not the deed itself. In the case of Shimon and Levi, the deed itself was terrible. They killed an entire city. But what Yaakov Avinu is trying to address over here is the cause of their behavior. Their behavior of using violence, stolen tools, stolen weapons, the thing that caused this all to happen, where you become so enraged and so angry, where you become completely out of control, like a shikar, like a drunkard. That once a person is drunkard and then he gets into a rage and breaking windows and damaging people's possessions and just going from person to person or from house to house. If you would ask him at the end of him being finally sober, he says, "It's not my fault. I got drunk." Well, that's the reason why you are to blame for your damages and for your guilt and for all of your terrible things you've been doing. It's because you've allowed yourself to get drunk. When a person gets drunk with anger, there is no control. And when there's no control, anything goes. Let me read something from the writings of the Levi Eliyahu. It says as follows: Tzei ulamad mei hashvatim hakedoshim. Let go and learn from the shvatim kedoshim, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, shepam achas b'chol. Yemei Chayeim, only once in their lives they have deviated. Ola Belibam, Mashu Min HaKas, or Min HaDoima HaKas. It arose in their conscience, this midah of Kas, once it happened. Ubedava Shehayu Ra'oyu Lehem L'chayis. And with things that were considered justified for them to get angry. But because they were so in a hurry to display their anger, and they didn't ask for advice, and they were punished for or forever in the generations to follow, forever at olam. Velo od, and not only that, el shechokak aleihem b'toras Torah hakdosha. The story is carved out be'esh shechora al gabi esh levana, with black fire upon white fire, lenitzchiyim, for eternity. Hadvarim ha'amurim asher zichronam, the things that were said to remember. Im kein, continues on the Lev Elio, alachas kama v'kama manena anan, what are we going to answer? Im mis nafchim umis malim b'charoin v'zam aloy dova v'shum siba nechona. What are we going to answer when we get enraged and anger and angry on things that are far, far less important and less significant of the things that angered the Shvatim? V'mi yodeya kama pa'amim nichshal v'hippol asmai l'be'er shachas rachmona l'tzlan. And who is to know how many times people have already been negligent and have fallen into this destruction, and because of this they've lost their lives. Oy lanu miyoyim hadin, oy lanu miyoyim hateichacha. Woe is to us the day of judgment. Woe is to us the day of retribution. This is what the Lev Elio says. This is something so very important. We know he brings down with other Marishan just to develop a little more this concept, how the Torah takes issue with not the deed itself as much as the cause to the deed. He goes to the story of Adam HaRishon, the famous story of Adam eating from the Eitz Hadas. When Hashem asked Adam, why did you eat from the Eitz Hadas? So he blames his wife. It's this woman who you gave me, she caused me to eat from the Eitz Hadas. The Torah says to that response, Ula Adam, and to Adam, Amar, Hashem is now responding, Ki shamata b'koil ishtecha, because you listen to the voice of your wife, v'toichel min ha'eitz, and you ate from the Eitz Hadas. So you are now going to be punished. And we know the punishment is that he's going to, first of all, not live forever. He brought death to the world because he ate from the Eitz Hadas. He's going to have to leave Gan Eden. He is also going to have to work for a living. B'zeyas ha'pecha toicha lechem, with the sweat of thy brow you will eat bread. All this was a cause, you think, from eating from the Eitz Hadas, says Rav Elio Lapian, further to develop his beautiful thought, his thesis. It's the cause. The cause was that you listened to your wife's voice. Ki shamata b'kol lishtecha. Because if you realized that I, Hashem, told you not to eat from the Eitz Hadas, and you also heard your wife's voice say, eat from the Eitz Hadas, right away it should have reacted a negative response in your mind and in your psyche. So how could I listen to my wife? Hashem told me not to. It was the act of listening and being weaned over by the voice of your wife that caused you to eat. Naturally, the eating itself was the bottom line. But the cause of the avera was you listened to your wife's voice when you should have right away reacted. My dear, how could I do that? Hashem told me not to. This is the message what Rav Eliyahu Rapian Zatzal is trying to convey, that very, very, very often we get into trouble doing all sorts of aveiros, and we don't always address properly the cause of the avera. We blame insignificant causes, when really and truly, if we thought about the causes, we would be able to identify the real problem and maybe correct the problem if we would catch it in time. How many times do people get into trouble with stealing? Right? Stealing, everyone knows you're not allowed to steal, right? But if you caught yourself to live in an environment with people who steal and with people who lie, and you know stealing is terrible, but you're among people who steal and lie, and you become motivated to do that. Naturally, you get put into prison. Person gets put into prison for stealing. But if he would have thought about the fact that he would have stayed away from the company of people who steal and lie, he wouldn't have ended up being attracted to doing something like that. You can take any avera. A person, we know it shouldn't be speaking Lashon Hara. It's terrible avera. But if you're among people who are constantly gossiping, you're constantly gossiping. You go to a wedding and you're sitting on a table and people are constantly talking about people. And you get attracted to the conversation and you become part of it. Oh, and a person can end up talking Lashon Hara. If he sees that this is a table that is prone to speak about Lashon Hara, he moves to a different table. It's the fact that he allowed himself to sit on the table where people speak Lashon Hara. It's the cause that made him eventually be guilty of Lashon Hara. You can say this on so many different things. A person is, let's say, motivated. He's next to a person who is patient and has kind midas, and is a person who is a mavater. A mavater is a person who lets things go by. He doesn't get insulted so quickly. Someone insults him, he looks away, he doesn't make a big deal over it. You become friends with somebody like that, and you see how someone like that doesn't make such a big rumpus, doesn't make a federal case over someone embarrassing him. It rubs off on you too, and you become more capable of looking away and letting an insult roll off you, because you become influenced by the people who you have associated with. It's all about being around the people and being careful to stay away from things that are bad and associating with people who do things that are good. The main message from the Rav Eliyahu Lapian Zatzal is the message that we must never forget that we are responsible. And Yaakov Avinu did not mince any words. He was very, very strict. And he made sure that Reuven, Shimon, and Levi got the message. Later on in the parasha, he did then privately bless them all. But he wanted them to know that when you want to correct the problem, and each of us, you and I, all have things to brush up on. Some have to brush up on more learning. Some have to brush up on more davening. Some have to brush up on more tzedakah. Some have to brush up on caring about dealing with our spouses and our business partners. We have a lot of things, each of us, we're all different than one another, but we all have things to work on. The parsha wants us to realize that we have to look at the cause of a problem in order to be able to eliminate the problem. And I think this is such a very important message that the Lev Eliyahu had imparted to us, and we should try our best to do what we can to study ourselves, study our behavior, and ask ourselves, what is the thing that I really want to get better at? And let's see. Well, let's say if it's coming on time to davening. Well, maybe it begins with getting up earlier or going to bed a little bit earlier. I mean, it has to come with a cause. When we address the cause, then we automatically address the problem. And when we address the problem, eventually it's going to cause us to make a Kiddush Hashem. Gentlemen, have a wonderful, wonderful week. Be matzliach. Everything should go kashur. And I hope, Mi'et Hashem, we'll have an easy tainus. And tomorrow, by the way, I don't know if I mentioned it, you are able to eat until 6:11. That's when the Alos Hashacha begins. Until 6:11, you're allowed to eat. Anyway, Zay Gesund, have a Shavua Tov, be Matzliach, and thank you for coming along and listening to this year. Kol Tov, be well.